The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes shall stumble and fall.
Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in the Lord's temple.
The Lord will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble, will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and will set me high on a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me, and I will offer sacrifices in the Lord's tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me.
Come, my heart says, seek the Lord's face. Your face, O Lord, I seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, for you have been my help.
Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 12, and verses 17 and 18. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know what I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought him all these and cut them in two, laying each half over against the other. But he did not cut the birds in two. And when birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. As the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. So ends the reading.
Well, good morning. How are you today? Good. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you about this morning is something that I have always enjoyed doing, and that's reading. Ever since I was real little, I enjoyed reading. You like that too? Yeah. And I've enjoyed reading all different kinds of stories, and my, both Yes. Mm-hmm. And my boys both enjoy reading, and I can remember when they were real little, I would read them stories. Linda and I would take turns in the evenings, and we'd sit down and cuddle together on the couch, and we would read stories. You like that, don't you? Well, I remember as a child reading a story that was called The Fox and the Little Red Hen. And if you know anything about foxes and hens, a hen is a female chicken. Foxes and hens they don't get along. No, they're enemies. And the story goes that this Papa Fox was hungry one day, and he was out looking for some food. And he was looking all over, and he kept walking and walking and walking, and all of a sudden he sees this hen. And he thinks, I'm going to get this hen because I'm going to take that home and have chicken dinner. So he grabs the hen, and he puts it in this bag that he's carrying to take the hen home in. So he's walking home, and he's a pretty far ways away, and decides, I better sit down and take a rest. And he sits down and he sets the bag down and he's resting and kind of dozing off a little bit. And the hen who is in the bag is thinking, how am I going to get out of this mess? I know what that fox is going to do to me. I need to escape. I need to get out of here. And the hen remembers that in her pocket, she has a sewing kit. And well, we don't have to worry about foxes getting us, but hens do. And the hen takes out her sewing kit, takes out a pair of scissors, and cuts a hole in the bag, very quietly sneaks out of the bag, gets a big rock and puts it in the bag, and sews the bag back up, and sneaks off and escapes. Now the fox wakes up, and he picks up the bag, and he just goes right on home. And when he gets home, what's he going to have for supper? A rock. The hen has escaped. The hen had a plan. And she had a really good plan to outsmart that sly old fox. Well, in our scripture later today, the reading from Gospel of Luke will tell a story about a group of religious leaders who went to Jesus. And they went to warn him and said, get away from here if you want to live. Herod wants to kill you. And Jesus said, go tell that fox. Now, he says, go tell that fox that I am healing people, and I am healing them today and tomorrow, and the third day I will reach my goal. You see, Herod was very similar to that fox. They were both kind of mean and bad, whereas Jesus was more like the hen. They had a plan. They had a real good plan. Now, That's right. Now, they had a plan, and Jesus had a plan. And do you have a plan? Do you have a plan for your life yet? You know, you're kind of little and probably don't have that plan all mapped out yet. Sometimes it takes you to get much older to really come up with what you want to do with your life. But you know what? God has a plan, and He has one for you. And you know what? Being here today is part of His plan. Because part of His plan is for you to learn about church and Sunday school and His Word. And by coming here as often as you can, you're learning those things. And so we are also like that hen. We are going to be prepared, and God is preparing us for when we go out in the world and when we do things. You know, it's sad to say, not everything goes our way. As much as we'd like it to, we have some really fun times and great times, but sometimes we have those things in which they just don't go our way. Kind of like in sports when our team loses. But that's part of life. But God prepares us for all of those different things. That's right. Because God has a plan. All right? Now, can we say an echo prayer? Can you follow along with me? Father, we thank you that Jesus loves and protects us like a mother hen protects her chicks. Keep us near to him, and may we never stray from him. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen.
Today's New Testament reading is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading today comes from Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" So ends the reading.
This is the word of God for we, the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God, you are the hope beyond all human hope. And you promised descendants as numerous as the stars to old Abraham and barren Sarah. And today you promise light and salvation in the midst of darkness and despair through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have promised redemption to our world that will not listen. Christ, gather us together in your tenderness. Open our ears to listen to your word and teach us to live faithfully as people confident of the fulfillment of your promises and your faithfulness. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So this week my wife was on a grocery run, and she had both the kids with her, and our daughter Eliana, like many daughters now, right now, her favorite movie still is Disney's Frozen. And they had a plethora of Frozen merchandise and toys and blankets and all kinds of fun things. And she came home with this new Elsa doll that
has the, it's the spring dress, and it's almost as tall as she is. She brought it to the movie last night here at the potluck, and she just, she was walking on cloud nine, you know, and my wife texted me, and she said, oh, there's more I want to get her. I just, there's so much I want to get for her. She I know how much she loves it, and I want to give her everything that she, it makes her happy. And I thought about that. And I texted her back and I said, honey, if you feel that way about our daughter, imagine how much God feels about his longing to give everything that he has and wants for you. Think about how much God loves you. As much as you wanted to just take up everything and put it in the cart, you know, that she was excited about. Imagine how much God loves you and longs for you. And she just texted me back one word, and she said, truth. Truth. And in today's passage in Luke, we kind of fast forward a little bit from where we were. And actually next week, Roger's going to preach a little bit before this, but we're in Luke chapter 13. And Jesus has already at this time, he's been teaching and preaching, and he has had his face set from Galilee to Jerusalem. The mission leads to Jerusalem. The mission leads to the cross. He continues to tell his disciples, even though as the crowds get bigger, he says, the Son of Man, or he's referring to himself, will be betrayed and rejected by the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders. He'll be betrayed. He's going to be betrayed by his closest friends. And he's going to be put to death. But on the third day, he will be raised. He keeps telling them again and again. And in this time, he continues to carry out his mission of preaching, teaching, and healing, of delivering people from evil spirits. He continues to live out what he promised when he preached at his hometown synagogue in Nazareth, and he unrolled that scroll, and it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news for the poor, recovery of sight for the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the year of the Lord's favor has come. And he even said that that was fulfilled in him, in his very life. See, Jesus continued to persevere. He did not quit. He was not deterred. He was tempted in all sorts of ways by all sorts of people everywhere along the way, not just in the desert, but throughout his life. As we see now, he's being tempted with that fear of death that we struggle with. Because it says in verse 31, at that time some Pharisees approached Jesus and they said, go, get away from here. Because Herod, that is the man who thought he was king, he was the tetrarch, wants to kill you. He was the Jewish king. Herod wants to kill you. And he'd already killed John the Baptist. John the Baptist's head was put on a platter so he could do it. But then Jesus says to them, go tell that fox. Look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will complete my work. And we know today that his work meant going to the cross, dying for all, so that everyone could know that God loved them. Not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. And this love for the Gentiles is what made the Pharisees so angry, because they did such a good job of keeping the outsiders out and keeping the insiders in. See, Jerusalem didn't just represent the Jews. It's easy to read the Bible and see Jerusalem and to begin to paint Jerusalem as just representing the Jews. But Jerusalem was a diverse city. And Jerusalem didn't just represent the Jews, it represented Jews and Gentiles in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the local seat of power. Jerusalem was the establishment. But in the context of the Pharisees, Jerusalem was the religious establishment. They were the people who did all these things in God's name. They were the ones who were held to the higher standard. They were the ones who made the rules and decided who was in and who was out and interpreted God's laws. into everyday practices for people. But Jerusalem became focused on Jerusalem. And they lost sight of what God's plan was for them to be a blessing to all nations, not just for the Jews. Israel wasn't just meant to be chosen and set apart and off on their own. Israel was meant to be a blessing to the nations everywhere they went because God was with them in the center of their community. See, this same God that sent Jesus Christ, God our Father in heaven, we learned from when he made that covenant, that visceral, bloody, mysterious covenant with Abraham, as we heard in Genesis today, that that flaming torch and boiling pot in that night went between these split animals, as if to say, if I break my word and I am not faithful to my promises for you, may this happen to me. Now that's kind of violent, but that's the truth. And God continued to show his faithfulness. That covenant is what Israel was called to remember. That they were to be a blessing to all nations, that God would make them numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand in the sea. But by this time they had forgotten, because we've learned that the religious establishment, they kept out the poor and the lame and the blind. People who were poor or had disabilities or who were sick, they were even judged that, oh, you sinned. That this is a judgment from God against you. You're blind because someone sinned in your family, or you're a sinner. And you have to clean yourself up before you can come back to church or the synagogue. Well, that's not the way God works. See, we serve the God who sent his Son to come and live among us. The Word became flesh in Jesus Christ. He came down from heaven, from that mountaintop, so to speak. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain a few weeks ago, we learned about. But now he's coming down among the people, down into the city, into the belly of the beast, so to speak. And is dead set on that cross. Is dead set on testifying to the truth. Testifying to the fact that God hates injustice. And God hates the exploitation of the poor. And God hates our division in our religion. He hates when we judge one another and puff ourselves up and put other people down. He hates it. But even more than he hates sin, he loves us and wants to bring us home to him. When God delivered the Israelites out of Egypt, he didn't just bring them out of Egypt so they could just live on their own. He brought them to his holy mountain, as we learned in our Bible study this week. He brought them to his holy mountain. And in that time, the gods, when they believed in gods, the gods hung out with the gods. They were the insiders and the people were the outsiders. But God brought them to his holy mountain, but he didn't just stay there. He came down and was among them and in their community. He tabernacled at the center of their community. So that everywhere they went, everything they did, there wasn't this divide between secular and sacred. Everything was holy because God was with them. And in our lives, God wants to be at the center of our community. But in our community, we find ourselves in a denomination, right? We have this book of discipline. We have all these rules, all these committees. And we can find ourselves becoming more like the Jerusalem that Jesus is weeping and grieving over. That we can find ourselves comfortable with a religious status quo where we think, oh, I'm doing just fine. I think I've got this now, God. I'm good. I think I know all I need to know now and I can go live my life. And I'll just make sure that, you know, you're okay with that. No. Jesus is committed to his mission. He will not quit. He is persevering. He is steadfast in his love. And nothing will deter him from deliverance and healing and preaching good news for the poor. And when he talks about Jerusalem, he says it's impossible for a prophet, someone sent by God to tell them the truth, to call them to repentance, to change their hearts and lives. It's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. In his hometown in Nazareth, he said a prophet isn't welcome in his hometown, and they ran him out of town. But here he is now in Jerusalem, the center of the religious establishment. And he begins to lament. Jerusalem! Jerusalem! You who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you. The people with the good news of salvation for you, and you stone them. Later on in the book of Acts, the first martyr in the church is Stephen. And he's stoned in Jerusalem by his fellow Jews. He says, how often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you didn't want that. You didn't want that. You want to keep things just the way they are. You want to check things off your list and say, okay, I went to church. I've given my money. I've done my duty. I'm going to go do my thing. Or, look at us. We have this great building. We do all these good works. People should be here. Where are all the people? Well, they need to come here. No. Jesus is longing to go after them. He wants to gather everyone to him. And he's not going to sit around and wait for people to come to him. He goes to them. So in our ministry, we need to go to the people and to let them know that God loves them. God loves you. God loves me. Not because what I can do for God, but because he's God and he created us in his image and he loves us. And we don't have to clean ourselves up to come to God. We come to God and he cleans us up. He wants to protect us and nurture us. He wants us to grow together in love and faith. He wants us to see past our differences and to see what we share in common. That we are loved by God. That we are sinners in need of a Savior. That we need God's love and grace. And that we can't be Christians unless we're Christians together. But he says, you didn't want that. And so he pronounces judgment on Jerusalem and says, look, your house is abandoned. God's saying, all right, you want your own way? You can have your own way. And he says, I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And that's on Palm Sunday when Jesus comes, not on a horse, not coming to overthrow the Romans like they'd hoped, not to prop them up and bring other people down, but it comes on a lowly donkey. Comes in a way of peace, not violence. And comes to face the symbol of all violence and evil in that world, that cross. And dies for us. Dies an innocent man who was willing to testify to the truth. See, in our Christian faith, it's all about perseverance. The longing love of God should motivate us to not quit. To not just give in to the power of sin and temptation. When you become a Christian, and you, we talk about, you probably hear people, oh, I was saved. I've been saved. Well, what that means is, you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. And you really want to make a change in your life. You realize you can't save yourself. And so when you profess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead, it says you will be saved. But that's just the beginning. See, that's where we are set free by the power of the cross, by the work of God alone in Jesus Christ, not anything we can do, but trusting in God's promises fulfilled in Jesus. That we are set free from the past guilt and shame, of our past sins. But friends, I have even better news for you today. That when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you take up your cross and you follow him, wherever you are in your life right now, that you make that daily decision to follow Christ, that God gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us a new power. It gives us power over the present power of sin and temptation. That in Jesus Christ we have a way out. That we don't have to give up. We don't have to submit to our former addictions. We can truly believe and live because Jesus has set us free. And when we trust God, Christ will give us the truth and his word that will help us overcome that sin and temptation. And we don't have to do it alone. We can rely on God and we can rely on each other. But we don't have to give up because God never gave up on us. Even though Jesus was tempted to flee for his life, he stayed and continued his ministry. Continued to seek out the least, the last, and lost. Sinners like me. And for us, sometimes there's that period where we have to trust God. And it might not be clear about what we're to do next. And we're faced with this horrible situation. We don't know what to do. We don't want to cause any more harm. And we don't want to be like we used to be, where we tear others down to put ourselves up. But we trust God. The other week I shared, you know, I like the Lord of the Rings. And in the second Lord of the Rings movie, there's this battle called Helm's Deep. And there's this army of orcs that comes after the humans. And the humans are in this castle, this Helm's Deep, this fortress hewn into the side of a mountain. They have nowhere else to go. And thousands and thousands of these orcs come at night. And there's this bloody battle. But then the dawn comes. And they're standing their ground. Even if they have to retreat, they're still standing. They're still fighting. They're not giving up. And at the dawn, Gandalf the White comes on this big white horse and brings in this outside army. And they come in and they sweep out the enemy. And they save the humans. And in the same way, when we accept the freedom and the power God gives us, gives you to resist evil, sin, injustice, and oppression, however they present themselves, God will deliver us. God is faithful. His Holy Spirit will give us the words we need from his word. Even when we're faced with oppression, even when we're faced with injustice, even if we're like people in the world who are persecuted and they're faced with the authorities and they don't know what to say and they're brought to trial, even before penalty of death, God will give them the words to say. Like the story of when you heard about, we hear the horrible things about ISIS and they're beheading people. Well, there are Christians who are professing their faith in Christ before they're beheaded and handing them Bibles. And some of these terrorists, God is changing their lives and causing them to repent and to flee and to become Christians and then to help rescue other people out of that evil. God does not quit. Even in the face of death, God can give us freedom and power we've never known. To resist sin, evil, injustice, and oppression. So in light of this, are you willing to trust God and his promises? Are you willing to not give up, to not quit, to not resign yourself to addictions or temptations or despair? Are you willing to step forward and trust God? Even if you don't know where you're going, you know you're with Christ. And he is faithful. And he just wants to gather us in as a mother hen gathers her chicks. And so we come to this time where we are gathered together to Holy Communion. God has called you to himself, called you to security and safety under the shadow of his wings. He has called us together to be nurtured and grown and built up into a holy people who love God and love one another and will be a blessing to all nations. So as you go today, may you persevere in God's faithfulness in Jesus Christ. That he has done the heavy lifting in your life. And he is the one who can help you to change your heart and your life so that you can reflect God's character and his love for others. Go in peace. Amen.